Joshua chapter 8. And we looked at this morning the conquest of Ai and how they came into the land. And they came in up to Ai and they were defeated the first time. And they came up the second time. But this time they came with God's plan, God's blessing. And they came up and they were put to, they feigned retreat. And then there was an ambush. They took the city. You say, well, that's a simple battle plan. It was a good battle plan. God came up with it. It's a great idea. He knew the hearts of man. And again, as we want to look at tonight, just because we're retreating now, just because it looks like the people of God are losing, it's all part of the plan. We are not losing. We're on the winning side. You cannot beat the child of God. No matter what, and no matter how many failings you have, we often think about our failings and all the things that, and I appreciate that night about God's long suffering. How many times do we mess up? How many times do we feel like I often feel like I'm a broken record or something. I just keep on saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And I do the same thing again. And you think, well, I blew it again. And you come face to face with just how frail you are. And you think, well, God still wants to hear me. God still wants to hear those words, Lord, forgive me. To me, a sinner. And I'm so thankful He does. You know, and even all those times that we do that, you can't be beat. How can you suffer defeat? You say, well, I was living in defeat. Yeah, but isn't that the greatest thing that Jesus Christ picks you up from that defeat and says you win? One day, I want you to think about this, and this is a part of the sermon. This is just an extra stuff. Yes, bonus features, if you will. Someday when you get to heaven. And you will get to heaven. Now, there's a good thought. Because if I had to get there on my own, I can't get my way to the Halifax Hospital, let alone. Man, I can't get my way around there. But I know that God's going to take me to heaven one day. And I can't help but when I think of, you know, I go to a funeral. And you see people standing around the casket and they're mourning the loss of a loved one. I can't help but think someday that's going to be me. I'm going to be there. But I realize that I'm going to be in heaven someday. And nothing can take that away from you. And when you get to heaven, you're going to be looking around and you're just going to be glad to be there. And I like... It's all going to be okay there. It's all going to be okay there. And this world has nothing to offer. And you realize just how precious Christ is. People say, aren't you going to be bored in heaven? I think the more I study about Jesus Christ, the less bored I think I'm going to be. Because you spend a long time just thinking about Him. It says in His Word, consider Him. You know, this whole Bible is about Him. And we haven't yet exhausted it. And you can't exhaust it on this side of heaven, and I don't think we're going to be able to exhaust it on that side. God's infinite and glorious and wonderful. And all the failings that you have and all the problems you have, they're going to be gone. That's going to be a good day. We're in victory. And you can't beat the child of God. You can't destroy them. What shall separate us from the love of God? I love looking at that. Father God, again, we thank Thee for Thy wonderful grace. And Lord, as we continue on studying the Word of Christ tonight, would You just help us and guide us and direct us in these things that we would help to bring to remembrance the thing we've already studied, but Lord, that we would help to apply these new things that we look at. Lord, these aren't new things. These are old things. But these are things that we need to review again. And it's always good to review those things and encourage our hearts with the things of Christ. Lord, would you just put your hand of blessing upon us tonight. Make these things clear in Jesus' name. Amen. I like this chapter and the fact that AI thought they were winning. The upside-down heap of ruin thinks they're winning. The world actually thinks that they're winning. And if I was one of them, I'd think that too. Sometimes as a Christian, I think they're winning. But they're not winning. We're winning. We're going to win this whole thing because it's not because we're good. It's not because we're really crafty or we're really bright. Some of us aren't the sharpest tools in the shed. Amen. You know, we don't have a lot to boast in. And the Bible says, you see your calling, brethren. And it lists all the things that we're not. It says, not many. And of course, some of us go, well, yeah, not many, but there's always the blessed exception to the rule. Well, if you're one of those blessed exceptions, thank God. But I know that in and of ourselves, we can't boast in winning this. We'll never win this by ourselves. But since we have Jesus Christ, that makes all the difference. It makes all the difference in the world. And AI is going to go down. The spear of Joshua. I want you to take a look at that in verse 18 of this chapter. Joshua 8:18. And the Lord said unto Joshua, stretch out the spear that is in thine hand towards AI, for I will give it into thine hand. And Joshua stretched out the spear he had in his hand towards the city. In verse 26 it says, and Joshua drew not his hand back, wherewith he stretched out the spear until he had utterly destroyed all the inhabitants of Ai. When Joshua set forth that spear and God said, I want you to stretch forth that spear, Joshua. I want you to stretch it forth and point it at Ai. That's the one, that's the goal we have, that the upside down heap of ruin will be set right. It will be raised. And Joshua didn't take it back. Not until it was done. There is a spear outstretched, if you will. Matthew chapter 5, verse 18 says this, for verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Every promise in the book has to be fulfilled 100%. There's not one thing God can leave undone. And there's not one thing God is going to leave undone. Whatever He's promised, He will fulfill it to the absolute degree. God never lies. And this book, God says, if He promised something, it's going to happen. It is history, and we've read the history in advance. As we were reading today in our Sunday school classes, we're looking down through Lamentations, and we looked at some of those things that happened. You say, wow, isn't that something? And I was reading about Nebuchadnezzar, how God would raise up Nebuchadnezzar, and then God would put down Nebuchadnezzar. This was even before Nebuchadnezzar arrived on the scene. God put up His servant Nebuchadnezzar, and He put down His servant Nebuchadnezzar, and He brought up the Medes and the Persians, and He brought them down. God did that, and God had promised to do those things even before it happened. Because if you understand anything about eternity and you understand anything about prophecy, it's a done deal. It is. We live in time. God lives in eternity. It's happened. It's history. The things that are written are history. You say, well, it hasn't yet happened. They're history. That's right. I can't change history. I can't change what happened yesterday. You say, well, you can change what happens tomorrow. Not if God says it's going to happen a certain way. I can't change that. You know, I can't change the fact that I'm going to be conformed to the image of Christ. I can't change that. I don't want to change that. I think that's a great idea. I don't get along with that idea too often because I go kicking and screaming into it. But God says, I am going to conform you to the image of Christ. That one day I'm going to be just like my hero. I'm just like Him. So are you. Can you change it? Why would I want to? It's history. See, well, it hasn't happened yet. But it's history. Friend, you're going to heaven. That's history. You say, I haven't been there yet. It's still history. I'm going to walk on that golden street. I'm going to get to worship around the throne of God. I'm going to get to praise God. You say, oh, that's history. You say, it hasn't happened. It has happened. Yeah. Just waiting for it to unfold in my life. For the time to catch up with the reality. The fact is that everybody, if you're saved here tonight, the fact is that we're going to get to gather around heaven. And someday maybe we'll get together in heaven, all of us, and say, do you remember the time? 1 million years from now, you'll still be around. 2 million years from now, you'll still be around. You'll never, never die. That's history. I can speak of 2 million years in the future, and that's history. It's done. It's already written. Sir, how do you know it's written? It's written right here. And if it's written in here, it's history. And again, I like that little quote, it'll all be okay in the end. If it's not okay, then it's not the end. If you're the child of God here tonight, the Spirit of God is held aloft over your head. And it will not be taken back until all is completed. God is not going to take that spear back until victory is completed. You will win. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35 says this. Women received their days to life again, all tortured, not expecting deliverance. You say, that doesn't sound like victory to me. Again, don't look at it from AI's perspective. Not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a resurrection, and others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. I like that epitaph. Boy, I tell you what an epitaph that is. When God says the world's not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Abraham looking for a city. It wasn't built with hands. You know, he's got the city now. That's called walking by faith. You say, Abraham lost. Abraham lost. He won. Even Samson won. You say, well, Samson was a failure. Samson was a success. You say, well, I disagree with you. Well, God says he was. Hebrews chapter 11. He's a success. Even righteous Lot was a success. He wins. That's not an excuse to live any way you please, folks. And don't get me wrong, but it is. What's that? Don't go to Sodom and Gomorrah. The Word of God will not fail. Now, down here a little bit, and I'll give you an example of this. In verse 30, and Joshua built an and then Joshua built an altar unto the Lord God of Israel in the Mount Ebal, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded the children of Israel. It is written in the book of the law of Moses, an altar of whole stones over which no man hath lift up any iron, and they offered up thereon burnt offerings unto the Lord and sacrificed peace offerings, and he wrote there upon the stones a copy of the law of Moses, which he wrote and of the Israel. Their elders and the officers and the judges stood on this side of the ark and on that side before the priests of the Levites which bear the ark of the covenant, that says of the Lord, and as well as the stranger, he that was born among them, half of them over against Mount Gerizim and half of them over against Mount Ebal. Turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 27. That's not for me. Deuteronomy chapter 27. Says this. Tell them they should be in church. It's probably a telemarketer. Put them on hold. Put them on the speakerphone and we'll let them hear. Deuteronomy 27. Did Moses go in?
No.
He looked. Moses went in a few years later, amen, on a different mountain with Elijah and Jesus. First time Moses gets to step inside the promised land. But at this point, Moses had not yet gone in. He had not yet set foot on Mount Ebal or Mount Gerizim. But this is what God had said would happen through Moses. Listen, he said, when you come into the promised land, what I want you to do is I want you to set up there an altar. I don't want you to use any tools. I just want you to use bare stones. I want you to set it up. And I want you to put half of them over here in Mount Gerizim, half of them in Mount Ebal. I want you to write the law on this. And I want you to the cursings and the blessings, the cursings and the blessings. And there's a whole sermon you could preach on the cursings and the blessings. And how many people that were there and what tribes were in each one. Some beautiful things there. But there's the cursings and the blessings. And God said, this is what I want you to do when you come into the land that I give you. And he set it all up. Gave details. This is what I want you to do. He said, what a useless thing to do if you were never going to do it. It would be useless for God to put that in the scriptures if they were never going to accomplish that. They were never going to get into that place. They were never going to reach Mount Gerizim, Mount Ebal, and they would never do that. That would be useless, and God doesn't do those things. God said, this is what you're going to do when you get there, and I'm going to give you the battle plan, if you will. This is what you're going to do when you arrive there. I want you to set it all up like this. And guess what? Here we are over in Joshua chapter 8, and guess where they are? Just exactly where God said they would be. And half of them did this and half of them did that. And he set the ark in the middle. And then they set up and he plastered the rocks there. And he wrote the law of God before the people of Israel. And he put them on that rock. And you say, well, that's an amazing thing. And you know, he was just obeying God. That's right, he was obeying God. But God knew he would obey him. And he said, this is what you're going to do when you get there. And folks, God has given you some things. When you get there, this is what you're... God was right. Way back in Deuteronomy, was God right about this? Because here we are in Joshua chapter 8, and God was right about it. What a coincidence, here they are. Moses had never set foot in there. Moses didn't see these things. But he knew enough to say, this is what's going on. God said, this is how it's going to be set up. Isn't it amazing how God works things out? Not so amazing when you realize just who God is. He had been there already. He had seen it happen. The word of God will not fail. God has stretched his spear over the earth, and that which he desires to happen will be accomplished. To the saint of God here tonight, you are going to be blessed. You're going to be kept. You're going to be secured. You're going to be conformed. You're going to be gloried in. God said it would be so. And it is so. I don't care. There's times you probably don't feel like it. There's times where you don't feel like very much of a success. There's times where you feel like I've blown it again. And you probably did. But God says, I'm going to glory in you. I'm going to keep you. I'm going to mold you. You're my treasure. You're my peculiar people. And you will win. The saint of God can rest secure in that. The spear is still over your head. And it won't be taken back until everything's done. To the sinner, that's a real tough thing. The sinner will be punished. Hell awaits. In Deuteronomy it says this, if I whet my searing sword in mine hand, take hold on judgment. I keep thinking of this verse. Those verses that just stick in your head. Because that just paints a mental picture of God reaching forward and grabbing that glittering sword. His hand takes hold on judgment. He says he's going to make his arrows drunk with blood. And he will avenge himself upon his enemy. That's history. There's blood going to be up to the horses' bridles. That's history. That's history. When somebody comes around and says, I refuse Jesus Christ as my Savior, they're going to hell. That's history. You say, well, it hasn't happened yet. It's history. They have an opportunity. They have an opportunity. They have a will. They can accept or reject. But if you spend your life rejecting Jesus Christ, Ebel or Gerizim, there's blessings or cursings. You choose. The earth will give God glory. All things we put under His feet. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. It's history. The spear hasn't been taken down. The spear is still out there and it's still happening. AI hasn't been put raised. AI hasn't been put straight up again. The upside down heap of ruin hasn't been flipped over yet. Everything's still upside down. The spear's still out. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. The winning side may look like it's AI at the moment, but you better look again. Look really close. The battle plan's open for everybody who wants to look at it. You ever read the book of Revelation? I get a thrill out of reading the book of Revelation sometimes. It scares me, but it thrills me. I read the book of Revelation and I know, here's the battle plan. AI doesn't win. You know what's going to happen? If you're a child of God living and breathing here tonight, in the twinkling of an eye, raptured. Isn't that going to be good? Boy, I tell you, it's getting close, isn't it? Just like that, gone. And then there's going to be plagues and death and pestilence and destruction and judgment and the second coming. And AI goes down. Tonight, as in that time, the world, sinner, or AI, is between a rock and a hard place. And we don't have time to make a great big sermon out of this, but those people wanting to make sermons, you might want to put this one down. The sinner between a rock and a hard place. Who's the rock?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. What's the hard place? Judgment. The Bible says that He is the rock. And beheld them and said, what is it then that is written in the stone which the builders rejected, the head of the corner? Whosoever shall fall upon this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. There's the rock. The hard place is... Revelation 20, verse 11 says this, and I saw a great white throne. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, there was found no place for them, and I saw the dead, small and great, were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is going to be a day, and that's a historical day. That day is history. That day is coming. You say, how can you say that? Because it's already happened, but it's already coming. That day is going to happen when Jesus Christ sits on His throne and He judges the world. He judges those people, and there's not going to be any place where they can hide. My friend, they're going to be between a rock and a hard place. It's not going to be a very pleasant experience. Just like the people in Ai, remember on that day we read about that? Everything was going their way and they thought everything was great and they rushed out and they said, it's going to be a slaughter. It's going to be a slaughter. We're going to take these Jews and we're going to grind them to powder. And then they smelled something. The smoke of Ai ascending up. And they looked and Joshua and his troops stopped running. And turned around. I think you could have heard a pin drop. Everybody stops, looks back, and realizes there's no going back. There's nowhere to go. We either got to go back into those gates, and the gates are on fire, and the people are there, and they're behind us in force, and we can't go ahead. Because there they are. We're between a rock and a hard place. Friend, there's coming a day when the sinner will stand before God between a rock and a hard place. I'd much rather be with Joshua on that day. I'd much rather be sitting on a horse, coming back down. Good job. Woo, good stuff. I don't want to be in the battle of Armageddon. It's not going to be much of a battle. The Christian has a unique perspective on all this. We know the plan, right? We know what's going to happen. Is this a shock? But sometimes, remember we read this morning in that song, in the Psalms, where my feet had almost slipped when I looked and I was envious at the workers of iniquity. We forget the plan sometimes. We forget how it's all supposed to work out. But you just need to be reminded once in a while. I just need to be reminded once in a while, look, it's just temporary. In a few minutes, Joshua's going to stick the spear out. And everything's going to change in a moment. In one moment. You know, they're going to say, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. When they say, they'll say peace and safety. They think everything's going just their way. Take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We know the plan. This is not something that we're shocked at. But we just need to be reminded of it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. And I like the way this is put. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. You don't need this. You know this. For yourselves know perfectly. You know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them. Notice that, they, them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. It's going to overtake the world. As a thief. You know, if I knew what hour the thief was coming, I could be ready. Thieves don't usually call you up and saying, you know, what are you doing? You know, I'm going to be there between 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, okay? My schedule's a little tight. I'll be there, okay? And I'm going to rob you. Just leaving a message. So you get the message, you look at it and go, well, I'm going to call the police. Or you get... a welcome committee, in the form of a shotgun or something. Oh, we don't do that here. Sorry.
Louisville Slugger.
Yes, a Louisville Slugger. And you see the guy coming in trying to break open the window, or, you know, he jimmies the window open, and you're standing there, you're watching. You think, well, that's not a very bright thief. If you had a tip-off, and I remember I worked with this policeman, and he said had this tip-off that a guy was going to be there at this church, and one of the things the guy did was rip off speaker systems from churches. Yeah, yeah. Where's that cop when I need him? Anyway, so and he was already, somebody had tipped this guy off, and the policeman off, and he said, he's going to be here at this night, and you can be ready for him. So that he went in, and he said, he just went in. It was dark in there. He just kind of sat down near the front of the church, and kind of in a secluded spot, and he just kind of watched. Sure enough, the guy shows up. The guy goes over in the corner and starts to disassemble some stuff, grabs some stuff, and quietly walks over to the guy. The guy's busy, hard at work. And he goes, "What you doing?" No, and the guy has a fit right there. He says, "You're under arrest." And you know, he gets the guy, but he knew the guy was going to be there. He says, "That was a tough one." My uncle, he was telling me a nice little story. He said he walked into this place and it was all dark, and this guy was taking some stuff apart, and he drew out his revolver and he kind of stuck it out. And he said the guy turned around just at that moment. Oh, and it went right in his mouth. He said the guy wet himself right there. That was it. He said, "Oh, I got to take him in." Ooh. If you knew when the thief was coming, you could be ready. Here's a tip. We know. We know. The world doesn't get it. The world doesn't. Oh, when it's going to happen, but we do. You say, you know the date and the time? You know the season. You know, it kind of smells like fall. I know the season. I don't know exactly maybe day in the season. I know the season. I look out my window and there's snow on the ground and it looks kind of nasty and the wind's whipping by. I kind of go, yeah, I think it's winter. It doesn't take somebody very bright to figure out what season it is. You know the season. You know. Paul says that. "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others. But let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. They that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him." Paul says, you don't need me to tell you. You already know. And I've read the book of Revelation. I know you've read the book of Revelation. I know that some of the things that are happening in the world today, you know. We're getting close. When it happens, the world's not going to know what hit it. We know. Why do we know? Because he did it so all of us could catch on. He gave us a book and he wrote it down in the book and said, "I want to know what's going to happen in the end." So he put the end near the end of the book. Amen? Made it really clear. And he put the very beginning at sort of like the beginning of the book. And it sort of made it a little bit simpler for us so that we can kind of, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I see what's going on there. That's kind of neat. And if you read the book from the beginning to the end, you get the real good understanding. If you go from Genesis to Revelation, by the time you get to Revelation, you start realizing, wait a minute, some of the stuff I've already seen. What a shock. That's right, because you read that stuff earlier. I don't understand what the abomination that causes desolation. I don't understand that. Well, did you read Daniel? Yeah, I did. Oh yeah, now it's coming to me. Line upon line. Precept on precept. And we understand this. God has not left us in the dark on this. He's let us in. We know that AI is going down. We know that we're heaven bound. So what are we going to do? Just trust Him. Trust His battle plan, although it looks like we're losing. Understand we're not. Understand you're not. Pastor, I'm such a failure. Join the club. You're not losing, though. You can be knocked down. You can be beat up and drug around. But you're going to win. You're going to make it. You're going to win in the end. Fear not. There's one thing that can give you comfort. Look over your shoulder and see Joshua holding the spear out. The words, there's some promises in this book, haven't yet been fulfilled. I know the spear's still aloft. I know it's not going to be taken back until every word is fulfilled. And until every word is fulfilled, it's not okay. And when every word is fulfilled, it's okay. Because that is some beautiful last chapter. That is a beautiful, beautiful ending to us. And heaven. And it's all okay. It's all okay. To the sinner, I can say this. Would you leave AI? Would you leave the losing side? I don't care if you think you're winning. I don't care if you think you have the time of your life. I don't care if you think that everything's going well for you. Look again, it's not. You're losing. You're losing. You're losing. You're losing. And you're going to lose really big. Because there's going to come a day when you see tracks and you smell smoke. And you realize you can't go back. And what lays before you is nothing but judgment and the sword. Sinner, you better turn around. You better leave AI quickly. Saint, don't be fooled by what surrounds you. And maybe you're tempted. Maybe you've been tempted the last little while to do things AI's way. Because, well, it makes sense to you. And it makes sense to the world. And everybody else is succeeding at this. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't give up your old King James Bible. Don't give up the simple faith. Don't give up the simple way that God has laid out in the Scriptures to do things. Although it may look now, you're not losing your... He knows the battle plan. Be encouraged and keep on. Keep on doing what you need to do. And if you need some encouragement, just look over your shoulder. See the spear. It's still in the air. Joshua hasn't taken it down yet. AI will be conquered. Your flesh will be conquered. The upside-down philosophies of the world will be conquered. And God will be vindicated. Let God be true and what? AI is a liar. God's true. Do it God's way. Father, again, we thank Thee for Thy wonderful grace. How good You are to us. Lord, thank You again that we have a great Joshua. That we have a great Savior. The spear is still aloft, and we know that You are victorious, and You will allow us to be victorious. The things that You have are history. Lord, Your word is a book of history. It's already written. Nothing can be added to it or taken away from it because it's history. We don't want to revise history. It just is. We don't want to tamper with it because it just is. your word's true, and all will be completed. Lord, thank you for these promises that are precious to the saint, the blessed hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Thanks.